Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome everybody and Kathy this morning.
Good
this
morning.
Now going to be aired, I think, on Tuesday, the 21st of January. And we're excited about this little primer that we're doing at the very beginning of 2025 is God just impressed upon us to help people really go deeper with understanding what does it look like to follow God's will and receive God's will. And,
right.
And what I've noticed is there's a lot of fuzziness about it because I think what happens is that people are looking for an answer and just give me the answer. And we're not recognizing that it's a path and it's steps to take. And in order to be on that path, which is what we've been talking about, we have to surrender our will when all along the path, when every day, okay, now what? Now what? What did we discover? What is the next step? And see, his will is played out by that.
Yeah.
And not to look at, and one thing I have noticed is that part of it is that people say, well, I'm heavy-hearted, I'm burdened, or I have unforgiveness, or I'm struggling with. And then they go to the Word, which is good, but they kind of leave it there and just keep saying, okay, like for example, unforgiveness. Yeah, I have unforgiveness. I read the verses that say we're supposed to release it and have forgiveness. Just take away my unforgiveness and give me forgiveness and then I'll move on. You know, it's like, well, God says we got to talk about that a little bit. We got to process that. It's a step-by-step process. Stay with me. And you've identified a good thing.
Right.
And I do want to release this, but you stopped basically walking with me and just said, just give it to me. And I will, but it's walking with me as I work in your heart, work in your spirit.
Which again is that picture, you talk about that picture of a cocoon to a butterfly, that transformation that takes place in that. The caterpillar doesn't just snap his fingers or blink and he becomes a butterfly. There is actually a struggle and some work and, you know, things that he does as he's busting out of that cocoon that allow the butterfly to actually form, right? So there is a whole process involved in transformation. We can't skip the process.
No, we can't skip the process. So we're going to talk more about this aspect of surrender. We went through the story of John 16 with Peter. You know, who do you say that I am? And you're spiritual and you're getting this. I'm going to build my church on this. And then he said, hey, by the way, I'm going to suffer and go to death and then be resurrected. And Peter says, he rebukes him actually and says, you know, stop saying that. And I'll never let that happen. You know, get behind me, Satan. You have the things of men in mind, not the things of God. And if anyone wants to come after me, he'll deny self, stand on the truth of the cross, what I've done, including putting to death your flesh, and will come and follow me, which is where, by the way, he wants you to spend most of our time, is he wants you to practice learning quickly. It's better to deny self. You know, why not? Well, God's will is better than mine. Why don't I just seek that? And go to neutrality. What do you have to say? I'm going to stand on the fact that he'll deliver it to me. Now I'm going to follow him. That's where we're supposed to spend most of our time.
Right.
Is what do you have to say? And what am I clear? And what step do I take? And your will be played out based on the truth that I discover step by step by step. So the question that we need to explore a little bit is, what does it mean to go to neutrality? When I'm seeking something, how do I surrender my will? What does that look like? And how do I know that I am?
Right.
And it's this aspect of what we've termed as going to neutrality, which is I come to a place where I'm neutral to the answer, and therefore I'm able to receive God's answer because his answer would be best and none better. And I'm not going to bring my answer as the primary thing for God to decide, are you for me or for not? And by the way, there's a great story about that, that if you would turn to this is Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. This is where Joshua has crossed the Jordan. I do believe you're going to deliver the covenant, the land of the promise and the promises, and he's ready to go. And this is right before he goes to Jericho and something happens. Go ahead and read this story, Joshua 5, 13 to 15.
Sure. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so.
So that, the commander, this is Jesus, by the way, because his ground is holy. It's mm-hmm. God. It wasn't an angel, because they would not never say that. It wasn't a good right. spiritual person. It was God. Only time in scripture where it says you're standing on holy ground, take your sandals off, is because you're in the presence of God. So, be holy. And are you for me or for them? Mm-hmm. I have a plan, and here's what I'm about. Are you for my plan?
Right.
And Jesus's response was an emphatic, in the Hebrew
nope.
is emphatic, absolutely not. You just asked the wrong question. Mm. And he recognized that. He mm-hmm. falls on his face, worships him, and says, "Whoops, sorry." And then he says, "What do you have to say to your servant?" And that's where we understood and understand, as we process God's will, every step of the way. And by the mm-hmm. way, he was encouraging Joshua, and he even failed at this when he went to Ai after Jericho. He said, "If you forgot that important thing that you just learned, mm-hmm. you forgot to ask me, what do I have to say now?" It's all about, okay, what about now? What about now? What about now? What's the question? Not, "I have a plan. Are you for my plan?"
Right, right.
Or could you either bless my plan, or if you don't want my plan to work, then, that make sure you put a roadblock in. No, he says, you gotta go simple. What do you have to say to me now? Your servant implies I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to be neutral, and I'm not going to bring my plan. I have thoughts. I have ideas. That's okay. But what do you have to say about that? So that as you seek that, and as you look at that, it's now, what would you have me be part of?
Right.
As I seek your plan. So I was talking about, a couple that they're trying to determine. She does have a career. She does have work, but she's not enjoying her career.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did is leapt to, "I could do this, this, or this. So I'm just trying to figure out what is the best this, this, or this."
Mm-hmm.
And so we started to, and I said, "Well, okay." I said, "By the way, your choices didn't even include what you're doing now."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, I've already concluded I don't want to do what I'm doing now." So you have a plan. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wait a second, And I said, "You've leapt to conclusion, and not what God may say about it. We got to back up a step and say, help me to understand what's inside of me,
right?
What I like and what I don't like. And does anything of these solutions line up with who I really am?"
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about it, just about one of the solutions was, okay, now let me ask you a question, because I kind of know her and I know, and her husband knows her. I said, "Is that really something you'd like to do?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Not really." I said, "Hey, husband, do you think that she'd like doing this and really enjoy doing this?" "No, we don't think so either." "So why would you want to pursue that?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, because it seems like a good idea." See, you see how it works?
Right, right.
Okay, now wait a minute. Are you neutral? And that idea hadn't really come out yet.
Right.
As in essence, have you surrendered your will to say, "God, what would you have to say?" And he says, "Well, I got to get you to neutral. Then we need to talk about a few things."
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to solution, God says, "I want you to know, and I already know, but I need you to understand it, what would thrill your heart?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now just think about how beautiful this is. She's wondering what to do. Great question. "Why?" "I'm not really enjoying what I'm doing now." Okay, good. And God says, that means, by definition, something isn't right.
Right. Whether it's in the job itself or in your heart posture. There's something askew.
Elements of your job aren't right, or I need to move you, or your thought about moving to something different is a good thought. But before we get to that, are you neutral to let me help you understand about this, and for you to say, "You know what, instead of me deciding what I should do or being responsible for what I should do, why don't I just seek you? And I'm neutral to the answer. I don't even need to tell you I'd rather do this, or I think I should do this. Am I just completely neutral? Which means what? If you're neutral, then you aren't having an interest or a position I'd rather do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say my preference would be that, but I'm completely neutral to what you have to say. So that if she goes to neutral, it's that if you tell me that there's a way for me to enjoy the kind of work I do today, maybe just in a different way, and that's your answer, I'm good with that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now why would you be good with that answer?
Because you're trusting that whatever God is leading is best, none better.
Do you have to figure it out? No. And do you think, really don't want to do that because? Well, you've already predetermined it.
Right.
And that's why I could say, well, are you really neutral? Eh, not really. Okay. Is that good or bad? Nope, it's okay. But the key is to get to neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And the way neutral looks like is that instead of it playing out the way I think it should or I want to, I'm just going to say, if you guide me into something, I'm good with that, even if it's different than what I think. You know, like,
right.
For example, and we've shared this story before with Linda, and we had the condo in Chicago where God said, you know, hey, Rich, I'd like you to sell that condo. And I was okay with it because I was, okay, I heard what you said and I'm good with it. You know, I love this place and it's great and it's fantastic. But okay, if you want to sell it, I'm good because I know you have something else. Well, when
right.
we said that to Linda, hey, God said to sell the condo, she said, no. Okay.
Not quite to neutral yet.
And all I said is, well, I'll come. Well, because it's great memories and we've had great memories and we still have good memories and the kids love it. And it doesn't make sense to me because this is such a great place of the covenant, quite frankly. Okay. And then I said, are you neutral? And she admitted, no, mm-hmm. I'm not. And I could see that she's not. And see, it wasn't a condemnation. It wasn't what's wrong with you. It was just a simple question. Why? In order for us to receive God's will, we have to go to neutral.
Right. And again, neutral didn't mean, are you in agreement with me being rich,
exactly right.
being you?
Exactly
it wasn't right. that. It was, have you truly surrendered and put your cards on the table to let God show you what his will is and asking him without clinging so tightly to what you prefer, right?
Yeah. And that if the answer is yes, sell it, you could be okay with that. Why? Because
right.
you're neutral and you know God's will is best and none better. Now, by the way, and this is important, I said, well, why don't you spend some time, just like I said to this couple, you know, spend some time and process that go to neutral. Linda, you and God spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing to work on is just neutral. It isn't answer. Don't
right.
work on answer. Just work on neutral. I'm willing to, if your answer is that, I'm willing to go that way. And then he said to you, Rich, by the way, are you neutral?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, even though I thought I heard God's voice, I couldn't say, well, I heard God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the answer. It's like, wait a minute, Rich, are you neutral?
Right.
So that if I say keep it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it is, are you okay with that? And so I had to go to neutral and say, if you said keep it, I'm good with that. And neutral says, I'm good with that. Now,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean I have the answer yet.
Right.
It just means I'm good with what your answer is, and I'm neutral toward that answer, which means give me the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so she did. You know, she spent a couple of weeks processing it.
Okay. I'm going to back you up on that because I can see where people will be questioning in this. So you already felt like you had heard from God. You recognize Linda wasn't in neutral, but you didn't then just sit on yours and say, I have already heard Linda's got work to do to go to neutral. You had to go back and investigate, let God investigate your heart and make sure you were at neutral, even though you believed you had already heard something.
Because think
blow that out a little bit, because I think people get stuck with right where you're talking about is, okay, well, my spouse isn't in neutral yet. I need to give some time for God to work on their heart. Right? I mean, you've heard this conversation too, right?
Yeah. And the think about it, if I said, well, I heard from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, I am defining her neutral
yes.
to agreement with me.
Right, right.
And that I already have the answer. So, you know, why don't you just get in line and then we'll be good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no, it's unity And Rich, you need to respect the unity of your spouse,
right?
Because she's saying, I'm not so sure about this.
Right.
Why? Because there's valid reasons for that.
Yeah. And recognizing even in that process that even though you believe you have heard sell the condo in this place or whatever, when there's not unity between the two of you, you don't necessarily have the whole picture. So
right.
You may have heard in part, but not in full. And if you get out of neutral, you're not going to receive the in full.
Yeah.
Right.
And it could be that, and again, this is something I did consider, because when I go to neutral, it's I'm completely open to your answer,
mm-hmm.
even if it was to keep the place. Why?
Right.
Yeah, Rich, maybe I needed to settle something in you
mm-hmm.
that was critical because you were going to come with a thought that you should sell it. And actually, I'm trying to preempt that by getting it cleared up now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't presume that when I said something,
yeah.
it's the answer. It's the beginning of it.
Right, right. It's like,
let's go consider it. And honey, I want to go to unity with you. And by the way, unity is with the spirit. So if I'm neutral, it means if you tell us an answer to keep it or do, like you said, maybe do something else with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely good with it because what? I haven't yet come to unity with the Holy Spirit and
right.
my spouse, who's part of the problem, which we're going
right.
to talk about this, by
right.
the way, as we go down the weeks ahead, is how do we get to unity, which is critical. But
mm-hmm.
to get to unity, we both have to start with neutrality. And I can't say, because I believe I've heard, you have to get in line.
Right.
And then all I do is just wait for her to get in line. It's no,
mm-hmm.
Rich, you go to neutral. And then with neutrality, we got to go where Joshua is supposed to go. What? What have you got
to say? What do you have to say? Exactly.
See, it's not about, well, you said,
mm-hmm.
Joshua, by the way, heard God say, I'm taking you to the promised land and going to give you the land. He could have said, well, I already know this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You do receive the promise, which is why the path you're on. But now every step of the way, and by the way, daily, you're going to have to go to neutrality.
Right.
And that's the way it works. Why? Because my will is best known better. And I got to get you to the right place step by step by step. And the timing of that, by the way, is important. And so if you approach it with, are we all neutral? Are we both neutral? Is my inner circle neutral? If anybody in my inner circle is trying to persuade me, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to help me.
Right.
At all. They're not neutral either. And I got to say, you know what? You're not neutral. Either don't be part of the process or you got to spend some time.
Or get to neutral. Yeah.
Okay. Now why? Because God's will is best and none better.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not? See?
So that's now, where we want to land. Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, is it easy? No, it's not. Because we have interest, we have positions, we have things that make sense to us and doesn't make sense to maybe when God says something. So it's a constant work
mm-hmm.
of be neutral. Now, and then he says a cool thing in Psalm 40. Go to verses 6-8. Psalm 40, 6-8. He reinforces
sure.
this.
It says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart.
So David, he basically says, I really don't want to be known for all the accomplishments I've had. And you know, this is after Goliath and all these wonderful things that have happened to him. It's that I really want to be known
mm-hmm.
that I delighted to do your will. And by the
right.
way, it's reinforced. Paul gives a history. It's interesting. This is in Acts 13. He gives a history of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, boom, boom, boom. You know, this Moses did this and Joshua did this. And then he comes to David and he doesn't talk about what happened. He says, and David delighted to do God's will and was a man after God's own heart. Now, by the
right.
way, was he perfect? Nope. Did he make some big mistakes? Yep. But ultimately, it was all, underneath it all, he discovered, and David speaks it, I want to be known that I delighted to do God's work. And he said, it's not about ritual. It's not about certain system. It's about my heart that denies self, takes up the cross, and follows you when? All the time.
Right.
And what? Go to neutral, which means that if God's answer is different than mine, I would be good with it. Why? Because I'm going to deliver spectacular grand life
mm-hmm.
to you. And
yeah, I love even just the word delight that he says in there. You know, I delight to do his will, because I do think often we have this picture when we think of the word surrender that carries this connotation that I think we naturally think of it opposite of something that would be delightful.
Right.
That's or right. Delighting, right? But what he is really saying here is delight to do your will is delighting, take pleasure in having joy in surrender. And I think that's something that we have to kind of wrestle through in our mind when we even say, you know, I want to be somebody who says I delight to obey God, to do what he says, and even checking my heart posture sometimes when he's asking me to do something or I'm surrendering something to him. Am I really so excited and so, you know, ecstatic, pleasure, having joy in the fact that I am doing his will rather than mine? And so there's some heart correction in there, I think, even just to look at that word delight and wrestle through how delight and surrender can go hand in hand. And it is simply from what you just said, that God's will is best, none better. Yeah. There's no way for delight and surrender to go together if we don't believe that.
And the good news is that if I made a mistake or I decided something that now I see some negative consequences to that, or I realize, I actually wound up living in the world and I caused some real trouble because I wasn't following God's will and I didn't seek that and I wasn't neutral. But God says, well, that's okay.
Right.
How about now? See, the gospel is the good news. How about now?
Yes.
I can make all things work together for good. I can resolve all the issues. And it doesn't even matter that you caused them.
Right.
That why don't you just come today, deny self, take up the cross and follow me. I'll restore it all. I'll fix it all. If you have a heart to go, why? Because I can do it. And all I need for you is you got to be with me. You got to be with the kingdom. And in order to be with me in the kingdom, I'm the king and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, I can't operate with you saying, I would like this to happen. Please make it work.
Right.
That's why our prayer list tends to be a bunch of telling God what to do. He says, no, go the other direction. Why don't you surrender your will, go to neutral, learn what I have to say. Even if you've made a mistake, even if you've blown it, I'll just take care of it now. And there is no condemnation. Let's go. And so as we understand, surrender is, and I love the word what you said there, is we will delight to do it. Why? Because God's will is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely best. And as you learn it, and that's when Linda and I can say to each other, you and Dan can say to each other, are you neutral? So we don't take that as, well, how awful is that? We just say, you know what? I'm really not. So you know what? I need to get that resolved. Why? Well, mm-hmm. I want to find out God's will. Why? Because it's best and then better, and it's to be delightful. And I'll be delighted to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that David said. He delighted. He wants to be known in eternity, that actually when we see him, when we get to be with him in eternity, he'll say, you know, I'm known for delighting to do God's will. And I say, I would like that to be my legacy, that's what I'm known for, to delight to do God's will. And that we all would learn it. Why? Because it's best and none better. And it's beautiful and it's spectacular. And we would delight to do it because it is delightful. So we pray that we'll receive that and live that out as well in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rich. Great conversation. Looking forward to continuing it next time. If you have questions from today's podcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We would love to talk about it. Looking forward to next time. We'll see you then.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.